Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we've been talking about all the occult holidays and pagan days that are practiced in the world, and how that's exactly what the children of Israel and children of Judah did in the Old Testament to depart from the living God. And we've already covered how that Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament before he became the Son of God in the New Testament by the power of God the Father. And so let's come back and let's look at the Passover in the Old Testament. Now, as we saw, God appointed these days. God appointed the feasts. As a matter of fact, we find that on day 4 of the creation week, he set the sun, moon, and stars in their places for the appointed seasons and the appointed times. Now, we're going to combine some things together, a few things from the New Testament, but mostly the Old Testament here. The Passover day was especially chosen by God for two vital purposes. For the Old Testament, to rescue his people out of the land of Egypt. For the New Testament, for the crucifixion day of Jesus Christ. And that day and year was selected from the foundation of the world. And we have a brand new book coming out, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah, which is going to be a fantastic book for you to read. Now, I'm sure that almost all of you have seen the Ten Commandments that is run every spring of the year at Easter time. Isn't it interesting? Because Cecil B. DeMille's did a very good job in doing the Ten Commandments. It follows the scriptures and is very, very accurate. But isn't it interesting? It comes out at Easter time. Now, we'll talk about Easter later, but Easter is a pagan substitute for the Passover of God. Now, the Passover is essential because, as we will see, without keeping of the Passover, Old Testament and New Testament, the people did not have right standing with God. And furthermore, I want you to do this. So here's an assignment for you to do. I want you to begin reading the book of Exodus, beginning with chapter 1, and come all the way through chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15. Now, in the Bible, Egypt is a type of sin, and sin enslaves us. And the children of Israel were enslaved to the Egyptians, and Pharaoh, who was looked upon as God manifested in the flesh. And Pharaoh tried to kill all the male children, but they didn't succeed. And out of that, one child was saved whose name was Moses. And as you will find in the movie, which is very accurately portrayed, by the way, that Moses was drawn out of a basket floating in the Nile River by the daughter of the Pharaoh. And she adopted Moses as her own son because it came from the Nile God, the river, in her view. Well, you know the story. Moses grew up as a powerful general, as a real leader. He was looked upon as a successor to Pharaoh. And then one day, he saw how the taskmasters were coming upon the children of Israel and were beating them and scourging them and also were killing them for the hard work that they had to do in building the rich treasure city of Pharaoh. And so Moses retaliated and he ended up killing one of the guards of the Egyptians, and then he fled into the wilderness, out into the Sinai Peninsula. He was 40 years old when he left, and he was out there for another 40 years tending sheep. So isn't that interesting? We have one trained as a general and also trained as a shepherd. So then when God was ready, he appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And he said, Moses, I'm going to send you to bring my people Israel out of the land of Egypt, for I have heard their cries, and I'm going to bring them unto myself. And so then Moses was the one chosen of God, and his brother Aaron was going to be his chief spokesman, because Moses said, well, who am I to go speak to Pharaoh? And God said, all right, I'll send your brother Aaron and he will speak. And he gave him a staff that was the scepter of rulership and the scepter of God and the scepter of miracles to astonish the Egyptians and to call all manner of plagues and signs and wonders down upon the Egyptians until they finally were brought low and they let the children of Israel go. Now, you can read about all the plagues. And yes, those things really did occur. Now, we're going to put online the historical proofs that these plagues did occur. And that what the account in the Bible shows is the truth. Now, the Passover day was coming. And it was the day that God had chosen and promised Abraham that on this Passover day, he would bring his descendants out of the captive nation. So let's come here to Exodus, the 11th chapter. And let's see the final plague. And the final plague was the devastating plague of Egypt. Egypt had been laid low with all of the other plagues, destroying their crops, destroying their livestock, destroying their homes, and terrifying things were let loose in the land of Egypt. And still Pharaoh hardened his heart and wouldn't let the children of Israel go. Exodus 11. And the Lord said to Moses, I will yet bring one plague upon Pharaoh in Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out from here altogether. So then he told the children of Israel, you go start spoiling the Egyptians. Now spoiling them, they took gold and silver and raiment, because they would need all of this for their exodus and God's setting up of the tabernacle at a later time. And so here is the plague that God was going to bring. And Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl that is behind the mill, also the firstborn of beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor like it any more. He's going to kill the firstborn. Men, women, animals. A complete devastation. Approximately 20% of the population. Now, I want you to think about that in relationship to any nation. Because the firstborn were the elite. The firstborn were the educated. The firstborn was the strength of any family and hence any nation. And he's going to execute them all at midnight in one fell swoop. Now notice verse 7. But against the children of Israel, not even a dog shall move his tongue against man or beast, so that you may know that the Lord puts a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And do you know that that is a type of today? God puts a difference between his people with his name, with his spirit, who love God, who love Jesus Christ, who accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and understand that Jesus was the firstborn of Mary, and that he gave his life and was arrested at midnight on the Passover night. to become the sacrifice as the God creator of the Old Testament manifested in the flesh as the perfect sacrifice to atone for the sins of all mankind. So we're going to see a lot of parallels that happen here. There is a division between the people of God and the people of the world. Question, which side of the fence do you sit? And what is your life? So as you will see, there are many lessons for us to learn here. Here's what he says, verse 8. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow themselves down to me. Now, this is what he told Pharaoh, saying, you, Moses, and all the people that follow you, get out. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in flaming anger, because Pharaoh said, you get out of here because you'll never see my face anymore. And Moses said, you're right. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not hearken to you so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all the wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now, I want you to also see there are parallels between the Exodus here and God taking the children of Israel out of Egypt, and the return of Christ, and the resurrection of the church, and all of the plagues that are coming on the world. Now, if you also want an interesting study, study in detail all the plagues in the book of Exodus here. Then go to the book of Revelation, and have a column for the plagues of Egypt. What they are, write them down. Have a column for all the plagues of God in the book of Revelation. And lo and behold, you're going to see that God's going to use the same weapons against the whole world that he used against the Egyptians. Because in the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and verse 8, it says that Jerusalem is called Sodom and Egypt. And the judgment of God that came here is coming many manifold times increased in the book of Revelation and the return of Jesus Christ against the rebellious nations of this world. So here again, we're going to see there are many, many lessons that we can learn. So he says, now, this in the spring of the year, the first month according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, and it's also called the month Nisan. So he said, this is the first month of the year to you. Then he said, now you tell all the children of Israel. Now remember, at this time, there were perhaps 1.5 million or more people, men, women, children, young and old, men of war. It says of the men of war, there were 600,000. So he had to tell the elders of Israel to go tell the people. Remember, no telephones in Egypt at that time. So he told them, each one of you is going to take a lamb on the 10th day of the first month. And that becomes important too, because as we will see, the lamb also is a type of Christ and represents a day in which God also selected Jesus as the Passover lamb for the sins of the world. So there are going to be a lot of parallels here. So by the time we get to the New Testament, you're going to understand the importance of the Passover. Now remember, the Bible teaches the Passover. Orthodox Christianity teaches Easter. God says Jesus was sacrificed for us as our Passover. Orthodox Christianity says, as we will see, he was crucified on Good Friday, which is not true, resurrected on Easter Sunday, which is not true. Now, what's going to happen is, just as you have been astonished concerning the truth of God in the Bible, and likewise astonished at the lies of Christianity of this world, you are going to be astonished how that The lies from the pulpit are so thick and so deep and so entrenched that it's almost going to take the plagues of Egypt to get them to change. That's why we have Church at Home, because you can choose and you can change and you can believe the truth and you can love God and you can keep His commandments. So let's learn the lesson here. So the lamb was a type of Christ. They were to keep it up until the beginning of the 14th day of the first month. And as soon as the sun set, that became between the two evenings, between sunset and dark. And at that time, they were to slay that lamb. So just picture this now. Here are all the children of Israel living in the land of Goshen. And they all received the instructions about the lamb to select it and what to do with it. And every family was ready. Now, if the family was too small, then they would share with the neighbor next. And you can just picture this. They had men on the tops of the flat roofs of their houses in which they lived in Egypt, watching the sun go down. Now in Egypt, it's flat. And the sun appears bigger because they're closer to the equator. And so they were watching. They knew what to look for. They were watching for the sun to go down. And as soon as the sun set below the horizon, they probably said, "Now!" And that's when the head of the household took the knife and slit the throat of the lamb. Then they dressed out the lamb, skinned it, and then when they roasted it, it was to be roasted whole, not cut up. And it was to be roasted over fire, not boiled. And they were to put back in to the cavity of the animal the heart, the liver, and the kidneys. Then they were to roast it. And they were also to cook bitter herbs. And these bitter herbs pictured the harsh bondage that they had in Egypt. And then when it was roasted, and it probably took from the time that the lamb was killed, and then they started roasting, it was probably finished somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, maybe a little later. They were to take some of the blood, put it in a basin, and then they were to take a hyssop, which is kind of like a stick with a rag on it, and they were to put blood on the upper door post, the lintel of the house, and on each of the side posts. And God said, "Where I see the blood, I will pass over, and I will not destroy the firstborn of the children of Israel." So the blood gave the protection. When God saw it. Now also, that applied to just the firstborn, but God rescued all the children of Israel, all 12 tribes. So he said here in verse 11, "This is the way you shall eat it. With your loins girded, sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in trepidation, because it's going to be a horrible and frightful night. It is the Lord's Passover." Now, can you believe that? Did it say it's the Jews' Passover? No. It said it is the Lord's Passover. Why? Verse 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord." Now think of it this way too. You come to the Ten Commandments. He said, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me." Why? They're idols. They're nothing. They're images. They're made after the images of men and beasts and snakes and crocodiles and frogs. Isn't it interesting? God used all of those things against the Egyptians in plagues. And those were the things that they worshiped. And they worshiped Pharaoh as God, the firstborn, sitting on the throne. So you see all the reasons why the Passover has so many lessons for us. And he said, verse 13, and the blood shall be a sign to you upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now we are to always remember this day, even in the New Testament church. We're to remember it, but then we have a greater meaning when we come to the sacrifice of Christ. Now notice what God says, verse 14. And this day, that is the Passover day, shall be a memorial to you, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast as a law forever. Well, that's important to understand. See, what happened when Jesus came? He didn't do away with the commandments of God. He set a higher standard. Likewise, with the holy days. He didn't do away with the holy days. He used them for greater purposes for Jesus Christ and the New Testament church, and as a framework to understand the prophecies in the Bible. Listen. There is so much in the Bible for you to learn. There are so many things that are fantastic and inspiring that you need to understand. That's why we have Church at Home, and that's why we have cbcg.org. You need to understand how much they have hidden these things from you. You've been a good churchgoer, going to church on Sunday or whatever. What do they really teach you? What have you learned about how to love God and serve Him? What have you learned about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Why did He do it? Why did He die on the Passover day? Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame that the church leaders have deprived their people? That they have failed to teach the Word of God? They have failed to show the people the truth of God? They could do so if they themselves would live it and obey it and study the Word of God and repent to God. See, God didn't come to destroy the law. Christ came to magnify the law, to bring it to a higher standard. And He did so with the Sabbath. He did so with the Passover day. Is not the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, a higher standard of a sacrifice than a little lamb of an animal? Think about it. Now, in order to understand and get rid of the lies that you have been told from the pulpit, you also need another book. This is one written by our editor, Phil Neal, which is Judaism: Revelation of Moses or Religion of Men. Because, see, you have been lied to by Judaism, and you've been lied to by Orthodox Christianity. So you've had a double whammy thrown upon you. Do you want to learn the truth of God? Do you want to know how to have a relationship with God the way you ought to? Do you want to know the real meaning of the Passover day and what that means to you and to the world? Well, you can do so. We'll teach it to you here. We have what you need also. You need this book because we will get to it. The day Jesus the Christ died, and He died on the Passover day. Now, there are some other lessons we are going to learn concerning the Passover and then the next feast concerning it, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because that follows immediately right after the Passover. And there are reasons for everything that God has done. And there are reasons for every commandment that He has given. And remember, God is a God of love. God is a God of truth. God is a God of righteousness. but he is also a God of judgment. And because of that, he has set forth for every one of us life and death, blessing and cursing, and he commands us, choose life, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may serve him, and that he may bless you. And today, we need not only the physical blessings, we need the spiritual blessings. And we need to have the strength and truth of God, because this world is headed for disaster and trouble on a scale never before comprehended by human beings. And the only way to understand what is happening, and the only way to be safe through all of these things, is through God the Father and Jesus Christ. Just like he said here for the Passover, this last plague would not touch any of the children of Israel. So be sure and write for these things. This is why we have them. You need to learn and understand about God, and he's going to help you. We have everything here so that you can get started. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.